What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Joining us now, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter for our Green Bay Packers. He is Tom Silverstein. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Hey, Tom. Good to hear from you. This is Mason Crosby. Been a little while, hey, but...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, good to hear your voice.
In a while, I miss our discussions.
I know, we always had some good ones.
Mason's deep.
I am. I'm a deep thinker. I've always had, you know, kind of a good emotional level of thought, but sometimes it that bugs my wife. But otherwise, it can serve me well. But Tom, I want to ask you. So go ahead.
I was just gonna say, luckily, I'm not a deep thinker, so
Yeah, you draw it out. You just draw out all those deep thoughts.
Right.
So tell us, so yesterday was the Goody Presser, kind of end of season, talking about how the season went, his thoughts, all those things. Did anything kind of stand out to you being there, the questions asked, all of that? We have some sound from it that that we might or might not play, but is there anything from that presser that stood out to you that he said that was either surprising or you were, somewhat unexpected?
Really, the thing that struck me was his last comment, which was that they need to be competing for championships and they need a sense of urgency to win championships. And I thought that was the strongest thing he said. And I think I sort of read it as a message to, the locker room, to the coaches, to pretty much everybody that, the way the last two seasons have ended is, that they've had competitive teams and they're not getting to where they want to be. Now, it takes time and they're the youngest team in the league, but I think he's saying, they've invested quite a bit into players and now it's time for them to reap some rewards from it. And I think he's putting a lot of pressure on 2025 to be their year.
That's a great point. I totally agree with you. I look at this year for this Packers team as kind of that, not, you know, it's okay, you want to say make or break year, but it is. It is like, it is a year when you look historically, you know, at past teams and things like that, it's like this is that time. This is the time for the coaching staff to take that next step, to get to a Super Bowl and have that, you know, have that championship banner hung in that building. It's been too long. They've taken good steps. We've had good years, but now it needs to go to that next level. And so that's kind of my question to you too, you being intimately involved, you're always in the locker room, all of that. You know, I know Goody talked about the wide receiver room and like some of the pieces in there and their development. What do you see, and do you think they will actually go and try to chase a big name wide receiver to add and get that number one guy in that room?
Yeah, I think, you know, so they've had a lot of luck in the draft. They almost never pick anybody in the first round. Mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't, I don't think, since Javon Walker.
Yeah,
Javon. In like 2004. Yeah. And it's just not their philosophy. So, you know, I mean, there's only one wide receiver who's actually going to be available who's a game changer, and that's T. Higgins from Cincinnati. Yep. And, I mean, he's going to be a $20, $25 million a year guy. And, you know, if you can continue to build with some, you know, a veteran, I think they'll go for the kind of guy, hope that a guy like Josh Jacobs, and I don't mean a running back, but a wide receiver who's in that kind of situation where maybe his team can't afford him anymore or just decides to move on, but he's still young enough that it's not a really old guy. I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that they consider Davante Adams, just because they know him, they know his work ethic, they know, you know, it's pretty obvious he's not done yet. His legs haven't left him completely. He's not the guy he was when they traded him, but, you know, Ted Thompson brought James Jones back for a year.
His presence would just be really, really good in that locker room.
Exactly, exactly. And James Jones's was too, and he actually produced. So I think there's that possibility. I think it's going to be a process, and I don't think he's going to throw a ton of money at T. Higgins, but I think he will try. I just don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I can imagine they'll be in the conversation, and they'll dabble in that space. But it's going to be, again, T. Higgins will be a desired free agent, so he's going to probably have options and choices. So it's just going to be more, does he feel like he can go in there and be a fit? Paid the top amount that he wants to get paid and go about that. I will say with Goody, different philosophy than, my years with Ted Thompson. He is not as afraid to go into that free agent market and at least try to get guys. But I like your point where they'll be patient. They'll see if someone moves on from a guy, for cap issues or otherwise. I can't imagine them doing a big trade deal with somebody unless it's like, all right, we're kind of ready to move on from a player, and there's a player swap with a draft pick type trade, which I've heard rumors of that with, even Miami and Tyreek Hill, which I'm not sure if that would be the right fit, into Green Bay as a number one.
Only way that happens is if it's a bargain deal. You know, he is not going to, I guarantee you will not trade a first or second round pick.
Yeah, they don't like leverage in the future for maybe a 1 or 2 year type of, program.
Yeah, and, it's tough. It's tough for teams. You don't see teams dealing first round picks very much anymore. Because of free agency, because the salaries are high, you're taking on this. He made mention of this too. Not only are you giving up a draft pick, but you're giving up cap space, and usually a lot of it when you make those kind of deals. So, I don't see a blockbuster trade. The only way I could see it is if there's a guy who is a value, and, he's just not getting much play elsewhere, like that team can't find anybody who really wants to pay, and so they can maybe get a bargain deal out of it.
That makes sense. Yeah, and then some other things from the press conference was, I know he talked a little about, like, Josh Myers, you know, a guy that is going to be a free agent. Like, what kind of market do you think he has? Obviously, he talked about Jordan Love and his relationship. Thought, you know, Myers, other than missing the one game, had a pretty solid year. Do you think that's somebody that they try to, you know, get a deal done with early to keep around? And, yeah, do you think he's, you know, what do you think his market is going to look like this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think they value him more than other people will. I know Matt LaFleur loves him. I know Jordan Love really likes him. They really value the things he can do at the line of scrimmage. He's not technically perfect, and, you know, he's a big, tall guy for a center, and sometimes, you know, he doesn't get low enough, or, you know, he'll have some, glitches, but he's the kind of guy they want on the offensive line. You know, he fits the personality. He's a good run blocker. I think they'll bring him back. I'm not sure what the market will be for him. Centers, you know, they aren't the guys who get paid a ton of money on the offensive line.
And it's a tough one to move in and out of teams because you play caller in a sense on that line. Like, you're doing a lot of things. Yeah. You have to be really in sync with the quarterback. Like, I do think, I hope that they try to get something done with him prior to free agency, just see if they can't get him on a Packer friendly, team friendly deal that, you know, helps, you know, that is good for him, but helps the team moving forward, because it's just like a lot of things. Like, if you move on, then now you're getting a new person in that position. You're getting somebody that, you know, has to learn all the nuances of Jordan Love and the offense and all of those things. I think this next year coming up is so important that you need that anchor on your offensive line there.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the one thing they are lucky to have is a lot of guys who are versatile and could, if for some reason he left, I mean, I would have thought, you know, a year or two ago, you could have slid Elton Jenkins there and put him there for the rest of his career. But now, you know, he's not up in years, but he's got a lot of mileage on him, and playing center is a demanding position, and you might just want to keep him there. You know, Zach Tom, you know, Gutekunst made it pretty clear he's a tackle, and he didn't rule him out being a left tackle either. You know, I think they're going to have a ton of competition on the offensive line. I think, you know, Jordan Morgan will have a say, and I think they're going to try him at tackle
for sure.
You know, they just got Sean Ryan can play center, so there'll be a lot of Jacob Monk. They drafted him. They like him. They really like those two young guys, Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford. I mean, they really like Glover. He didn't have a very good game against the Eagles, but he is
hard to step in there, right? Yeah, I mean, it's hard to step in against a defensive front like the Eagles have in that moment and, you know, just have instant success. You hope it's going to happen, but I think that's like another big piece. And, you know, I'm glad you kind of talked about who is on that line. Is you're going to always add depth in the draft there and add competition and all of those things. But the development of that line as a whole, our starters were great all season long. But you saw the few times that we had injuries and they had to move it around, it became a bit problematic. It was the Vikings game in the middle of the season, and then in this Eagles game, just you need to have some really good, solid backups, that are developed through that, and which I think they have in place. So it's going to be those guys' second and third year development that we're going to really be paying attention to.
Yeah, and, you know, you want competition. I mean, you don't want, some of your younger guys to just think that position is theirs and that, whatever, you roll the ball out and it's theirs. They've got to hold that position, and I think it's good if, you know, Rashee Walker has competition at left tackle. And, for sure. You know, it makes him cut back on his holding penalties and you know, some of those things. I think it's important that Zach Tom have competition and that Sean Ryan has competition. You know, I just think all of that brings out the best in a team.
For sure, for sure. Okay, so now we got to get to the low-hanging fruit of, like, the, you know, the presser and all the, you know, kind of conversation around Jair. You know, what's your gut feeling and your thoughts either from the presser, you know, before that, you know, kind of moving forward? Do you think Jair's on this football team moving forward, or do you get a sense that, you know, they're looking to move on?
I think they're looking to move on. I think they will entertain some offers for him. But if it's known that they're moving on, then, you know, they're not going to get a lot. You know, plus he's due to make $17.5 million next year. He is, when he's on the field, he's one of the top corners in the NFL.
No doubt.
He's played fewer than 32% of the snaps in three of the last 4 years.
Oh.
And, you know, that's unfortunate, and it's not his fault. You know, injuries are injuries, but that's just the reality of the situation. And as I think Gutekunst made it kind of clear, if you read between the lines, he kept talking about frustration. There's frustration on both sides.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of frustration on the Packers side just because, yeah, Jair is a different individual. You know, he's not just a typical person.
He's unique, no doubt.
He's unique, yeah. Personality-wise, he's you know, and you can see it on the field. I don't know if they're willing to go through that again next year. You know, if they let him go, maybe he's healthy somewhere else and he becomes an all-pro, but that's kind of the risk you have to take when you make those type of decisions.
Yeah, and as a teammate of his, and like you know, just knowing him as a person, like that's my hope for him, is that, you know, if they move on and he gets land somewhere and he can kind of, you know, find a rhythm and a path where he can be on the field more and he continues, you know, his career and has great success, you know. And I know that's always a worry, and that's also a worry for me with this Packers team, is like you let go of a talent like that. And he finds a rhythm and finds it, but I know they don't operate that way. They make the best decision and, you know, at the moment and time that they can for the betterment of the team. And LaFleur's press conferences towards the end of the season, yeah, you could feel his frustration around the whole situation with Jair and, you know, how that unfolded. And so those things are, they're, you know, they're infectious. It's like a disease, right? Like, it just kind of continues to fester and build, and nobody's happy. No, like, performance is never going to be exactly what you want it to be. You know, the, like, and Jair's a feel guy. He has a lot of feelings. He's unique in that. Like, the first year he was out there, I was just like, man, this guy plays the game like he's playing in his backyard. Like, it was fun. Yeah. It was exciting. But some of that also can be detrimental if it's not going well, right? Because you feel all those things, and you could feel that frustration building up.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an independent side to him, you know, a rebel kind of side to him that plays well on the field. It really does.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always play well in the locker room or, you know, in negotiations or whatever it is. Sometimes you just have to move on. And, you know, they had to do it with Davante Adams, and he went on and had two really great years with the Raiders. But they accepted that, and they may have to accept it here too.
No doubt. Well, yeah. So anything else from this Goody press conference that you want to hit on, or, you know, some thoughts as we, you know, we're moving out of the week, you know, after the playoff loss, you know, we're heading to the weekend. It's divisional round right now. Obviously, the comments that Goody said at the end of that press conference has us all kind of thinking, like, okay, what our expectations are going to be. You know, they're going to always look to build in the draft, look to, you know, get this thing going. I always look at it as, how do guys show up in the off season into training camp? What is the kind of the energy and the work that they've put in on their own? Because I think a lot of people don't, they think like the team kind of dictates how they, you know, how they're going to prepare going into the season.
Yeah.
Everybody's left now. They're going and they're getting their guys, they're working out with their trainers, they're doing their stuff to try to better themselves. Who on this team kind of do you need to see, like, from, you know, your kind of intimate view of like being around it all the time, do you want to see take a big step in, you know, year two, year three, whatever the situation might be, that could really help this team moving forward?
Well, you know, the as you termed it earlier, the low-hanging fruit is Jordan Love. And I think what you want to see, and I've been covering football for 35 years, and I covered all of Favre and all of Rodgers. And, you know, the second year can be difficult. It was really bad for Favre, his second year as a starter. I mean, I think he threw, I forgot how many interceptions he threw, but it was almost as many touchdowns as he threw. And it was really, there was discussion after his second year, Holmgren was, they were talking about other quarterbacks. Like, they had Mark Brunell and Ty Detmer, and, you know, they were talking about whether to extend him, and they weren't sure. And, you know, their patience, of course, paid off. And I think we can see that Jordan Love has a ton of talent. You can tell he's emotionally capable of being an NFL quarterback. You know, he doesn't get rattled.
For sure.
There's just some things that have to be cleaned up. And I think they're going to look for him to be a little bit more of a leader next year. I think that's
what LaFleur said, right?
Yeah.
They just
need him to be, so, you know, some guys have it, some guys don't. You know, people used to think Favre was a great leader, but he was a leader by example.
Yep.
You know, he went out there and played and made people play up to his level.
Well, that's I'm going to segue that comment, because before we let you go, we got to get to break here. But how you said leading by example, but like also I think Favre like really disarmed people with kind of his antics and how he acted on the field. And so kind of want to lead you to that, as, you know, we've talked a lot about Bob Uecker, you know, here the last day and a half, and, you know, obviously, you know, saddened by his passing yesterday. Do you have any Bob Uecker stories, or do you want to say anything? You know, just obviously being in this business, in this market for such a long time, you know, just kind of in honor of Uecker.
Yeah, well, he started in 1971, and I was 9 years old, and that's when I started going to Brewers games. I used to take the bus and go by myself, and you know, just sit at the games
at nine.
And
that's amazing.
That is awesome.
It's a different world, Mason.
That is so great. I love
that. Yeah, my parents didn't care.
Did you buy him cigarettes on the way back there, Tom? Too.
But, of course, you know, back then you didn't have the Brewers on television every day. So you listened to Bob Uecker. And so I grew up with Bob Uecker, and he's a special guy. And, you know, I remember watching him on Johnny Carson, and you couldn't wait when you read in the paper that he was going to be on Johnny Carson. You know, you made sure you saw it. So it is a sad day, but boy, he lived a full life. I don't think anybody can argue otherwise, you know?
No doubt. We all hope, you know, 54 seasons as a broadcaster. I mean, like, that's, we can't even say longevity. I mean, that's just, that's lasting, that's iconic. And so, I love that story that you rode the bus to go to the Brewers game as a 10-year-old kid. It's just awesome.
As it should be.
Here's $5, kid. You know, we'll see you in 4 hours. Like, sometimes it was a doubleheader, so, you know, I wouldn't get back till 6 o'clock at night.
Well, that's awesome.
That is so cool.
Tom, I really appreciate you jumping on. Hope to have you on again sometime, and you know, as this offseason develops, and you know, we see what's happening. But really appreciate your insight, and have an awesome one. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah. It was a pleasure. Anytime.
All right.
All right. That's Tom Silverstein, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter for our Green Bay Packers. Really some great insight into what Goody's thinking, Love's future, Jair's future, wide receiver position. I mean, all the hot spots that Goody hit yesterday.
For sure.
Tom's all over. Love
it. Yeah. Yeah, that was great. He obviously has been around it for a long time. I always enjoyed my interactions with Tom. You know, just very concise, you know, thoughtful questions that he would ask me, and you know, again, I try to give him my deepest insight.
The deepest, yes, yep, for sure,
exactly. Soul.
All right, well, we got to get to our weekend picks. We've got a great weekend of football coming up. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday, one game Monday night. So we're going to make our picks coming up. We'll check out our standings, which I'm very proud of. And we'll do all that next year. We are the Mason Crosby Show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Our studio is powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
It's time to pick 'em.